Excuse me, can we all sit down, please? And okay, so I would like to welcome you to the last session of this year's conference. It's on the U.S. Financial Fragility Outlook. We have two very smart people with us, Bruce Greenwald, Professor of Finance at Columbia University, and Frank Veneroso, President of Veneroso Associates. I'm not going to, you didn't read their bio in the program, so I don't want to waste any time on that, so please go ahead.
Conference. I spend my life going to traditional academic before the deflation. And increasingly, economists now recognize that the high private debt GDP ratio that was reached there was what turned a recession into three banking crises and a deep depression. Okay. So when we got to above 150% in 2007, we had a very, very high ratio once again of debt to GDP. And so therefore, we were at a point of untenability, and we had a financial crisis, particularly because there was also a bubble in house prices, where flat real house prices, according to Jay Shiller, all of a sudden took off, almost bubbled, and that was unsustainable. So when they came down, the debts were high, we had the worst financial crisis in three generations. Now, the Fed will tell you that this number here, which is household and say it's a bubble? Well, he said, I'll go and I'll see what it took. So that in every case, you mean revert. Now, there's a problem with this, and that is, how do you define the mean? And the mean is a function of the timeline, right? I mean, there's fundamental economic change. So if there's fundamental economic change, the mean is not something flatlined. The mean has a trend to it. If you use a shorter time period, then the mean is upward. sort of a bridge kind of finance for an entity that had too much debt, that now was in a position where they couldn't meet debt service, and so they had to make do. And a transitory part of making position, according to how I was, that you borrowed to pay your interest, and your lender, because he didn't want to deal with the bankruptcy, lent to pay your interest. And so you compounded the interest due, and that created the last explosion in debt. It was a cyclical kind of event. But I saw in the countries that I was working in, when interest rates soared at the end of the 1970s and the beginning of the 1980s, that the banks and the borrowers were willing to Ponzi finance for very long periods of time. Very high interest rates. And that didn't make any sense. But I had another idea that he told me around 1980-81. He said, it's all changed now because everyone knows that there will be a bailout. You see what they did to Lockheed? You see what they did to Chrysler? Everyone, that sinks into everyone. Everyone comes to expect that. So as a result, they are willing to be able to take more risk, and they are willing to Ponzi finance themselves through to the point of bailout. I never really, he brought it up in stabilizing, but he never really made a big deal about it. But he was really talking about a regime change. Now, I didn't believe, he knew what bubbles were, he described them well, but he talked about them very, very seldom, and he never thought they had macroeconomic significance. But when he did touch on it in 1991 on Japan, he didn't really draw the full conclusions. He didn't focus on the big increase in debt that had occurred with the property bubble and the stock market bubble. And then, of course, Japan paused its way all the way to 1997 and high died in 1996. So he never really saw what the new dynamic was. But he identified what it was. What it was intervention. Bailout. Bailout, moral hazard, Ponzi finance. A new engine of indebtedness. And what I'm telling you is that the reason why, since I died, we have now gone to levels of indebtedness and asset inflation that never existed prior to Japan. And outside of Japan and Taiwan, never existed really in history, that it was these dynamics that I identified that really are the ruling dynamics of today. This is what is causing all of these rises